Welcome back, everybody, to the Rainbow Umbrella Group, and thank you for tuning in. My name is Caroline, one of your co-hosts today, and my other co-host is Becky. Hiya, Becky.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. It's been a while.
It has.
How's it been keeping?
I've been keeping a lot better than you. You've been suffering with that blasted thing called COVID, haven't you?
It caught up with me. It caught
it's
up with me.
It's made your voice even sexier, Caroline.
I don't think so. I have cough sweets and water here for the podcast today. But Becky, it's great to see you. I know you've been really busy traveling and campervanning around the place.
Working, working. I've been busy doing that horrible four-letter word.
Any big trips planned, actually?
Got lots of trips planned. Yes. We've got a big Easter gathering. There's about 40 of us there. So I was away this last weekend writing the treasure hunt for it. So we're going to have fun. We always do. But it's I'm looking forward to that. So that'd be good. And it'd be even better if this weather got a little bit warmer. But I'm not moaning. It's not raining.
Yes, yet. And it's not snowing.
So, not snowing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So just for our listeners, in case you don't know what we do or why we're talking today, you know, this podcast was set up for really to be an ally for folks who identify as lesbian, who may not be out yet, trying to come out, not sure, living in rural parts of the world, may not got a lesbian community around them, and just really just to be a bit of a community and support network for them. We are speaking, our disclaimer, we are speaking from our own experiences. We're not speaking for the entire community, and we want to people to enjoy the podcast. And really, that's what we want to do. But for this week, because it was last week, was International Transgender Visibility Week, we have an amazing person on today. So our amazing guest today, and I've been dying to get this guest on our podcast for a while, is Lily Kelly. Lily is an amazing artist, and I have seen her work. She is absolutely amazing at her drawings. She is a published author of two books, sci-fi books, Broadsider. Sorry, Lily.
Broadsider, that's correct.
And two book. They're on Amazon, sci-fi. So definitely check them out. And the first time I met Lily, actually, we didn't officially meet. I was at an opening of a transgender film that was made locally. And Lily had worked with the group in this film. And her and her mom were at the premiere. And I was just thinking, how amazing. Your mom is just an amazing woman. She was such a big supporter of you. Lily, thank you for coming on today. And look, our first question is always, how did you get to where you are today?
Wow, that's an introduction that I don't even think I can live up to. How did I get where I am? Geez, I don't even know. It's been a long road getting from there to here. I am where I am at the moment, based off of all of my creative endeavors that I've always been encouraged to chase by my parents since I was really, really young. And I think that's kind of what I always try to do in my life, be it like professionally or at home or with friends. I always try to have a creative spin on things. Sometimes my friends don't even want to spend time with me, so like, Lily's gonna make us do stuff. You know, so I'm always driving to do stuff. I'm a person who really likes doing things. And because of that, I'm always like getting up in the morning thinking, okay, what can I do today? What can I achieve? Like, I try not to really always have an off day. And sometimes that can be to my detriment. That's about it. And how did I even get to here? I don't know. I always wanted to write sci-fi because I love sci-fi. Science fiction for me is a really good way to ask and resolve questions about ourselves and our society through the lens of how technology mixes with the human condition. So I think science fiction as a medium really helps us talk about things that we can be uncomfortable about, and it helps us learn about other cultures and other people's opinions without directly bringing up those cultures or opinions. It helps people decide on where they stand on things without them being confronted with a question that might make them feel uncomfortable because it's asked through a fictional medium. So that's why I love sci-fi, and that's why I do it. And I try to do it every day as much as I can through my artwork and through my novel writing.
Yeah, no, and your characters in your books are very quirky, really quirky people. So yeah, no, it is, it's fantastic. And you did that, you wrote that during lockdown, wasn't it? Was it
I
during lockdown?
did. I decided, I think it was like a year and a half before lockdown, I decided I really wanted to take everything I learned in college and put it down to actually making a product, because I'd always made works of art before that I would sell like single prints of, or maybe a few prints of, because when I was in college I did hardpoint printmaking. So we used, copper plates or zinc plates, and we used these ancient methods of printing press reproduction to make images. And every now and again, I would make a piece of art that appeared at a gallery, or I would sell a piece of art online or get a commission or something like that. But I really wanted to have something that kind of I wanted to just have something that had my name stamped on it that people could get forever, because as an independent artist to operate, it's very difficult, especially in Ireland. I ended up writing my thesis in college on how the arts in Irish education are kind of a failed system, and how it's very difficult for artists to get started in this country. So I wanted to do something that was outside of the visual, and I wanted to do something with writing because I wrote for so long and I really wanted to make something with sci-fi. So I started writing sci-fi, but I didn't publish anything. I didn't want anything published. I did short stories, and I was kind of working on, my passion project. But the thing about your introduction as an author is that you should never, ever publish your passion project,
Oh.
because it's most likely going to be terrible. So you have to I went, I did, some online courses, and then when lockdown hit, I decided I wanted to really take it seriously because I was out of work, like a lot of people were in the country at the time. And I thought, I will never get this opportunity again, ever, ever again, for me to take this huge leap and decide to publish something and to see if my work holds merit and if people like it. And thankfully, people did like it. It was a really long process. Like, writing a book is not easy. There's a lot of challenges that come with it, and a lot of compromises you have to make creatively and for yourself. So I did that, and it was such a great experience. And I really love what I made and what I finished and put out there. And I'm really happy that people like it, I guess.
And
Yeah, that's how I ended up becoming an author.
fantastic, because really where I met you was at the, it was a film, Let Your Colors Run Free, and it was a local
Yes.
community group of transgender kids wanting to express themselves through an art gallery. It was a gallery they were
Yes.
putting together, and they reached out to you to help them with their art. Is that
Yeah.
that's
Yeah, so Trans Greystones as an organization is such an excellent community of people. My friend Simon Blankensee works with it, and I think he is a star. He's a star, and I love him to bits. I can never like say enough about him, but he's the best. Anyway, but he got in touch with me, and he was like, "Hey, I was wondering if you would like to do a print class." I said, "Yeah, sure." And I was thinking, what materials could we use, and what ideals that were instilled in me when I was in college could I help your other people who wanted to do art, people who've never done art before, or people who've done art a lot. I wanted to do like a little tutorial, a little class that was able to help people, no matter where they were with their skill level, to learn something and have a good time and make some work. So I brought one of my own first prints that I made in college, and I was like, here's where everybody starts. and here's where everyone could end up if you want to work on your art and express yourself. Because I think a lot of people's self-expression is stunted by not having an artistic medium to express themselves with, because it's not something they did when they were a kid. It's not something their parents encouraged or whatever. But anybody can pick up a pencil, or anybody can pick up a paintbrush, or anybody can pick up a keyboard and make something that they want to make and express themselves through that, because theme and metaphor and storyline in general, all of these things that go into making a piece of art, really help us not only answer questions about things going on in the outside world, but they also help us answer questions and express things about ourselves. And really, trans people have a lot of trouble expressing themselves. I know I've had trouble expressing myself as a trans person for the longest time. And I think creativity and making artwork, and for me now, writing really helped that. It really makes it easier to be trans and exist in a world because we get to be creative.
Yeah. And is it like a form of therapy in itself?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think like, you know, if you're just going to work, or if you're just going to college every day and you're just doing what life demands of you, then you're probably going to have a really hard time feeling fulfilled mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And that's something that I always kind of struggled with, particularly, you know, when I was younger. I really was just like fighting to break out and be myself and come to terms with who I was, because there was a lot of things in my life I wasn't happy with, but there was a lot of things about me as a person that I loved and I wanted to express. And being a young trans person, you don't get to do that because you're assigned the wrong gender at birth and you're in a body that isn't yours. Now, not a lot of trans people in the modern day subscribe to it being described like that, but that's how I would describe it for myself. I felt like I was in a wrong body and I wasn't able to express myself properly. So I was really fighting to come to terms with who I was and how I fit into the world. And that's something I wanted to really address in my first book. And that's what I really wanted to put out there. I wanted to put out a book with a main character who was struggling to come to terms with who she was as a person, and deal with the good and bad things about herself, and basically prove everybody, not that she was right, but that she's not wrong either.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And that was kind of something I really wanted to put out there through sci-fi. So that's what I did with my first book. And it really, I think if a lot of people were to look into that as a theme, which we see in a lot of sci-fi, it's all character based. We're all exploring characters and how they fit in mm-hmm. and how their socio or economic status affects them. Yeah. And yes, it's through a science fiction universe, but it can apply to what or who we are or how we're doing today, yeah. if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And Lily, how do you find yourself now? How, I mean, you're so together, and any conversations I've had, you're just like, you're feeling like, you know, you're there, but you're writing about it still. Are you writing about the past or how you still felt you didn't fit in? But today, how do you feel?
I feel very much, even to this day, like I did my launch for my second novel, which is a direct sequel to the first one, which I was so happy to write, because the feedback I got for the first book was, we would love to read more. And I was like, this is great. And I did a launch for that book in November. And even then, I brought up in my opening speech about how to this day, I still feel like I have trouble fitting in with people or feeling like I belong somewhere. And I know that's not for lack of trying, and I know it's not because of other people. I think it's just because I was born the way I am, and sometimes being trans can feel like a square that doesn't fit in the circle. You know, there's a whole universe that's vibrating at a certain frequency, and as a trans person, sometimes I feel like I'm vibrating one or two points off that frequency.
Oh, Lily, I want to give you a hug now.
No, but sometimes being trans can feel that way for a lot, particularly young trans people, because not only do they have to deal with growing up in a world as turbulent as the world we live in right now, but they also have to figure out who and how they can express themselves in that world, because a lot of trans people, they can't because of their circumstances. So like I was talking with people for the launch of my new book, and they were, you know, asking me, you know, what prompted you writing this book? And for me, it was a big step I took in my life, which was going for my first surgery to aid my gender transition. And it was a huge thing, and it was terrifying. But obviously it was something I was waiting on for years. Gender transition takes a long time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of, a lot of medical stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all gobbledygook that nobody really needs the detail of, because it's a long, boring story. But going for surgery is a big, scary thing for anyone who's gone through it. And I had a lot of fears around going through surgery, but I also was having a lot of questions about myself in regards, am I being a better person for what I'm doing in my life? Is me fulfilling my gender transition making me the best person that I can be? Which is a question I always ask myself, you know, am I doing the right thing? And am I doing what's best for me? And, you know, I am. I know I am. But I would still criticize myself just to make sure, because a lot of people from the outside looking in would say to a trans person, are you sure this is what you want? Is this the right thing for you? And they're always, you know, how do you know you're trans and things like that? So a lot of these outside doubts prompt these kind of self-critiques of trans people. So it's something I do a lot. But I think I do it as an assessment of, am I being the best person I can be? Because if I'm not being the best person I can be, I feel like I'm letting myself and my friends and family down, you know? So I wrote the second book about wanting to be a better person. And I wanted to express my fears around surgery, basically. Again, coming to terms with the things you like and you don't like about yourself, because I don't think you need necessarily to believe that you're a good person to do good things. And regardless of how you feel about yourself, how you carry yourself is really important. Just because you're down on yourself or because you deal with mental health issues doesn't mean you are not doing a great job and being the best you can be and doing the right thing. And so that's a part of gender transition that's really complex.
We are our own worst enemies.
Yes, we are.
You know, and so all this doubt you have, but yet you were living this life and your best life and happiness.
Absolutely.
And the happiest. Absolutely. And then you were still going, is this right? It's amazing what our brains can brainwash us into thinking as well.
Oh yeah.
The wrong thing. But it's fantastic you've got this far and that you're moving forward, and you're very together with that based on our conversations.
Yeah, I like to think so, because I think that, you know, I didn't have any trans adults to look up to as a role model when I was a teenager, right? Yes. So I'm constantly thinking of, how can I present myself as a trans adult who's made it through, you know, turning 18, because a lot, like, I didn't even think when I was under the age of 18, when I was a teenager, that I was going to make it as far as I've made it in my life, because trans people, particularly young trans people, we don't do not believe that they have a future at all, because they think, I'm stuck in a life I don't like, I'm in a body I don't like, and, you know, I can't talk to my parents about it, or I can't talk to my friends about it. Coming out as trans, you know, coming out as LGBT in general is difficult for people, but for young trans teenagers, they don't think they're going to get very far, because they can't imagine what their life is going to be like pre, post, or during transition. So as a trans adult now in my life, I want to be that, I want to be able to be for others what I didn't have when I was a teenager. Yeah. Not that I, like, a goal in my life would definitely not to be a role model or anything like that, genuinely no, but I would like to be an example for young trans people to see and say, oh, this person, you know, made it this far and is living as their authentic self, and they're doing what they love doing, which is, for me, writing and making art. Mm-hmm. So to be able to live happy and content, that's what I want to show other people. Becca, you have a question.
Yeah, no, I've just absolutely loved listening to you, and I've written down notes of things you said. So it's, I love what you said about, it's not necessarily about being right, but it's not being wrong either. Yes. And, you know, sad that you said that you still feel perhaps that you're a square that doesn't fit in the circle, because obviously our generation is one or two generations older than your good self, or one and a half maybe, and obviously it has been a journey, and I'm blessed, I do know quite a few trans women, because I've gone to Lesbos, and I and they're of my age group, and their journey has been even more scary, shall I say, to learn about, if that makes sense. So I love what you're saying about being a role model. I love what you're saying about being that sort of mentor to people, even though you wouldn't choose to do it, because it does make it less scary for people. Definitely. To be their authentic self. And do you think you are your authentic self now, or do you think it's a perpetual journey that we're all on?
That's a big question. Well, I think honestly, like, I think our lives were always going through changes. Like, our lives never stay the same. Like, you look at yourself in one decade, and then you look at yourself in the next decade, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so different. But to us personally, we don't see that change, because we're living it every day. I like to think that we can always evolve and grow as people as we learn, because I like to think of myself as a lifelong learner. I love learning new things. My partner, Alia, she's always catching me watching an educational video about some strange topic, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm learning about nuclear astrophysics because it's there, you know, I don't know. I always love learning stuff, and the more you learn, the more you can, you know, develop as a person. I think the more knowledge we take in, as well as, and what I think is most important, the emotional context of that knowledge and the things that we learn really help us develop as people, and it helps us connect to each other as well, because how are we going to speak to each other if we don't know how? Or how are we going to learn to love one another if we don't know anything about each other or about the things that we've experienced? So I think as I grow and develop as a person, I'd like to constantly do better, and I would always like to learn more. And I think as I keep trying to do that each day, I will be able to be my authentic self, even though my authentic self may not be the same in 10 years.
That's a brilliant answer. And yeah, it is true. And I think the thing for us with learning is, it's still very difficult to ask questions sometimes, because either we're embarrassed or we don't want to offend people. How do you encourage people to, I presume, ask questions and make it less of an issue for us all? And there's a brilliant ad out at the moment. Is it, or certainly in the UK, which I think is about Google, and it's about asking questions. And don't be frightened to ask the questions, because if your intention of how you're asking the question is from here, then actually, that was my heart, by the way, if you couldn't hear me patting it, there is one in there somewhere. So do you still, obviously, I imagine younger people are better at asking questions sometimes, but do you find the older generation are a little bit more skeptical or a bit more nervous on asking questions? And how would you encourage them to do so?
You know, I think, like, mainly, I look at how people act and carry themselves when they're working genuinely or when they're working in bad faith. And I think the biggest thing you need to do when you want to learn about something is ask yourself why you want to learn about it and why you're asking the questions you're asking, right? So I've in all of my experience as a trans person, I've always loved answering genuine questions for people who want to learn. But in there, sometimes there are people who are acting in bad faith, in that they're asking you a question because they want to bring up something really personal that they know may upset you, because they're already coming to the table with the notion that they don't agree with your life. And that's fine. Not everybody has to agree with me. I certainly don't agree with everybody else sometimes. And that's just how it is. Sometimes you have to say to people, you know, your question isn't valid here because you don't actually want to learn anything. But surprisingly, and I've seen anyway in the last few years, particularly post Gender Recognition Act, which I worked on vehemently a few years ago, and post the marriage referendum here in Ireland, a lot of people are more open to talking about trans issues in an honest way and in a non-critical way. Unfortunately, we've seen backlash to that kind of thing. Everybody knows about J.K. Rowling's opinions and how much of a voice that she can carry. And if there's one thing I'd love to be, if not a role model to young trans people, it would be an anti-J.K. Rowling. If that would be a possible lifestyle to choose, but I don't think there is, because I think anybody could be an anti-JK Rowling just by believing in equal rights for everybody. But anyway, that's a digression for me. There can be a lot of backlash to trans people, particularly in the media and stuff, particularly when people sensationalize our lifestyle, our medical transition, and just our existence in general. But I think anybody who's able to look at themselves critically will always be able to ask a question honestly and confidently of a trans person. I think as long as you're able to look at yourself and say, I really do genuinely want to learn, or I genuinely want to get to know this person, then you'll feel it. You'll feel it in your chest. What is a correct or incorrect question to ask? Or am I being rude or not? Typically, go by your feeling, go by your gut. You know, if your gut says this might actually be a rude thing to say, then maybe don't say it. Or, you know, ask the person, because we all have our own preferences of what we do and don't like people saying to us. Nobody likes being called rude names, right? Unless they give consent. So ask somebody, do you like being called rude names or no? You know, that's literally it. Because I would always say to people, just go by your gut. And if your gut says that might be mean, don't. Or ask. Yeah, always ask permission. Like, hey, do you mind if I ask you about this thing? And if someone says yes, then yes. And if they say no, then no. When I was a kid, right, my mom would always slap me on the back of the head if she caught me staring at someone.
Yeah, we all
when I was a kid. And I'd be like, why'd you slap me? And she would say, you shouldn't stare at people because it would make them uncomfortable. And I never got what she meant until later on in life, when I started being stared at when I was a teenager for how I expressed myself. And the other day, it was actually St. Patrick's Day. I got off work and I was waiting at the bus. And there's this other person who regularly gets the bus, and I sit next to him, and there's all these kids that are running around, and they're staring at him. And I'm thinking, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? And I remembered how I used to be as a kid. As a child, I was inconsiderate of other people's feelings. And I didn't think about how they would feel if they saw me staring at them. But thanks to my mom, that was slapped out of me very quickly as I grew up. And I think a lot of people coming into adulthood should definitely have that lesson learnt of their actions affecting other people.
You'd like to think so.
You'd like to think so.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah.
And Lily, just you're in the west of Ireland. And
yes.
Is there a good support community there? Did you have a good support community during this transition time for you?
You know, when I began my gender transition, I was in college. So I joined ITSA, the Irish Trans Students Alliance, which was a young group at the time. It was literally only in its first year when I joined it. I thought that was a really great place to meet other people, express ourselves and stuff like that. And every university in Ireland has a yearly event called Pink Training, where young LGBT individuals from colleges get to go. They meet other people from different colleges, other LGBT societies, and make new friends. They also get to go to seminars about LGBT history or sex education or any of those kind of things. And that was the best because I was able to build a network of friends who are still friends to this day. And I think that without the supports that were in third level education for me, my transition would have been a lot more difficult, because through being a part of ITSA and through being able to go to events like Pink Training, I was able to meet a lot of my friends who now, you know, work in Tenny, and I was able to, you know, become friends with the aforementioned Simon Blankensee, who, you know, is a lifelong friend now. So like,
or Tenny, it's the transgender community. It's the main one in Ireland. What Tenny stand to you?
Yes, the Transgender Equality Network of Ireland. Yeah, so they're everybody's go-to, be they trans or not. With any topic got to do with trans issues, Tenny will always offer their help. I love Tenny to bits. They're great advocates for trans people in Ireland, the same as ITSA is for trans students. So I guess transitioning does require a really strong support group. And unfortunately, you know, not many trans people have that, because a lot of people in their lives who don't know or have any knowledge that a person is trans can take it very badly. And if you don't have that kind of setup around you, that support network of friends and family, your transition can be a very difficult experience, because it's already difficult as it is. You don't want it to be worse. And you can ask any trans person about their transition and who was there for them and who wasn't, and they'll tell you that they most likely lost most of the people that were with them beforehand, because not everybody can take gender transition not lightly, but they can't take it on board. A lot of people can't accept what they see as a drastic change in a friend or sibling or family member's life, because as human beings, we're adverse to change, and that's understandable. Not everybody wants to go through something uncomfortable that takes a really long time and is very tedious. Nobody wants to deal with that. But at the end of the day, transitioning just requires that. So for me, I lost a lot of friends. I lost some family. I don't regret losing people in that fashion, because the people I gained as a result of my gender transition are the people who I know I will have in my life for the rest of my life. And they are some of the most amazing people.
It is an amazing thought, isn't it? And it is driven by fear. We've spoken about fear quite a few times in terms of why people make the reactions. And just thinking about the kids staring on the bus, it's not necessarily fear, but it's, oh, not seen anything like that before. But then the more you see something, or the more you learn about something, the more your understanding grows. Whilst you've been talking as well, I've looked up J.K. Rowling, because I wasn't aware of what was going on there. Rightly or wrongly, my life's been busy recently and head's been, you know, stuck in other things. But there are two sides to every story, and somewhere in the middle, there's sort of the truth. And some of the questions she has from some of our audience may be legitimate questions to raise or statements to make even. And I think from my perspective about kindness to all, but it is a really difficult discussion, isn't it? When you think about the trans situation in terms of, you know, there is the sex side, there's the gender side, there's our sexuality side, there's all these different complex areas. And it's really, really difficult, isn't it? So where would you point us in a direction to learn more, to help us understand more? Because again, maybe some of our audience, our community, it might be the kids on the bus who are still really unsure about things. So I think we're all, as you quite rightly say, on this journey of learning and things. So where would you, if you had the chance to talk to J.K. Rowling, point her in the, not having an argument with her, but where would you point her in the direction for her to help understand where you're coming from it?
Well, my first port of call for anybody who would like to learn more about trans people and to maybe learn more about trans people's perspective is to meet a trans person and listen to a trans person. I wouldn't recommend anybody go to any one organization or any one charity or coalition or politician or any official source. I find the best way to learn about anyone's personal situation, because being trans is a very personal situation. Trans people aren't public figures. They aren't sports stars. They're not celebrities. They're not politicians, and they're not CEOs of big corporations. There is no agenda behind being trans. There's no marketing campaign for being trans or anything like that. Being trans is a very personal experience, and the only way to really learn about it is to talk to a trans person, particularly one in your local community. If you think of, oh, I have a friend of a friend who knows a trans person and I'd love to get to know a trans person, because what you'll find on the internet is 100,000 conflicting views, because the internet has given us the ability to have such significant discourse through Reddit or any other, you know, page where people can talk endlessly through comment sections about their opinions. And the internet has given rise to people who, regardless of what their opinion is, they will find people who will listen to them. And this is what globalization has come to. And that's fine. It's great for people to find their own communities. But I think about, particularly in Ireland, I think about an Ireland 100 years ago where somebody who would have a very negative view about a certain type of people would be sitting in the local pub and start giving out about his views about a certain type of person. And eventually someone else in the local pub would say, "Can you shut up?" And that person giving out in the local pub will eventually say, "Oh, well, I guess my view isn't socially acceptable. Maybe I'm an asshole." Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on your podcast. But my point is that kind of criticism doesn't exist on the internet. So people aren't able to kind of judge whether or not what they say is affecting other people, because a lot of people will find their own yes men on the internet. So when you want to learn about an opposing view, the best thing to do is to get to know a person on the other end of that view. You know, I personally don't know anything about Islam, right? And I have a co-worker that I work with who I love to bits, and he's Muslim. And at the moment he's doing Ramadan, and I don't know a thing about it. I just know that it exists. I assumed it was something to do with fasting. And I said, "Is that not just like Lent?" Because I was raised as a Catholic, right? And I don't do any of that stuff. And he was like, "No, let me explain to you what Ramadan is all about." And I was like, okay. And I listened. And then he was explaining to me his views on certain things around gender and the way in some Muslim cultures, women and men are separated and stuff like that. And I was saying to him, "I don't agree with that." And he was like, "You don't have to agree with it to accept that it's what other people believe in and it's how they live and it's what's right for them. And I said, you know what? Fair, because you don't have to agree with someone. Genuinely, you don't. But I believe that if what someone is doing isn't hurting themselves or another person, then it's fairly acceptable. And now a lot of people would counter that with, oh, well, a lot of fringe right-wing opinions aren't hurting anybody. But a slow build of, you know, hatred can develop, you know, and hurt people down the line. So there's a very fine line between what does and what doesn't hurt people. And a lot of people who, again, like I mentioned before, bad faith actors will always play that argument with you of what does and doesn't hurt people. Because a lot of people believe that trans people hurt others or hurt society overall just by wanting to, you know, exist and have equal rights with everybody else. And I think of arguments like that, and I don't counter them with logic. I don't counter them with, you know, trying to inform people. I just let them know that what they've said is very hurtful, you know, and you'd be surprised how profoundly that can affect someone when they're told, you know, what you said was very horrible, or what you said was very ugly, or what you said was very hurtful. You'd be surprised how much that affects people. And I think through talking to trans people directly, you will find a better way to learn about them instead of just going to the internet or going to any one organization. That was very long-winded, sorry.
And I think, like you said, every day is a school day. You know, every day is a school day. And if it's a question from the heart and a genuine question, it you know, you can go, you can answer it. But,
yes,
you know, there are people out there that aren't wanting to educate themselves. They're happy to read the wrong information and to be misinformed because that's the stance they want to take. And in the LGBT community, is there anything that we can do better to support trans people, to make them more welcoming, especially in the lesbian community and trans women? Is there anything that you could say, you know, it's lesbians that are listening to this, what could we do better?
You know, I think the LGBT community is great. And without it, I don't think I would be as socially adapted as a person as I am, because I used to be very closed off. I tried to be an open person when I was a teenager, but I just wasn't great at socially interacting with people at all. I think for people in the LGBT community overall, I think we are very open, very loving, very accepting. And I think a lot of that can actually be hindered by what we don't know about. Because everything in life, for me and how I see it anyway, is intersectional. Not any person is any one thing. You can be LGBT and you could, you know, be Asian. You could be LGBT and you could be from a certain religion. You can be LGBT and you could have a disability. There are so many different things about our life and how we live that intersect with each other. And I think the LGBT community are so open to each other and about LGBT lifestyle that they're not necessarily fully open to things that are outside of that sphere. And a lot of people in LG and B communities see gender transitioning as outside of their sphere. Not that they would reject trans people or trans ideas, but they would argue that gender transition is nothing to do with sexuality, therefore not an LGBT topic, even though the T is in there. And I've seen arguments like that before. And again, it comes back to, for any LGBT community, be open not just to people like you, be open to everybody. Mm-hmm. Be accepting of everybody.
Yeah. I haven't heard somebody say that. So that's interesting, actually.
It's a sentiment that the so-called gender critical LGB groups tend to believe in, but we in the trans community typically just call them TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists. But I don't personally like going around calling people that, because, you know, it's like somebody calling me a bad word that I don't want to be labeled as. So I try not to label too many people. But if I were to say, you know, a lot of gender critical individuals in the LGBT community would be of the opinion that their sexuality shouldn't be affected by another person's gender identity, because their sexuality pertains to sex, and as we all know, sex and gender are two different things. And so I personally believe that if I'm attracted to a person, I would like to be with that person. If I'm not attracted to a person, I won't be with them. And some people, particularly lesbians, would be under the impression that to accept a trans person, that they would have to be willing to sleep with a trans person if that was somebody who was assigned male at birth. But what if you're not attracted to men? So where's the thing there? And my answer to that for any lesbian who feels under pressure to have to answer that question is, take it person to person, genuinely. Mm-hmm. Take it one step at a time. If you meet a trans person who identifies as female and you like that person, spend time with that person. Get to know that person. Don't feel bound by the fact that your sexuality is one thing. Because I personally think that our sexuality is whoever we're into at the time. That's just me.
The attraction.
Yeah, definitely. But some people in other parts of the LGBT community, they kind of feel like, oh, to have to accept trans people, that means I have to change something fundamental about myself. Mm-hmm. And don't worry, don't be afraid. You don't have to change something fundamental about yourself to accept trans people, and nobody's going to ask you to have to be friends with a trans person or have to talk to a trans person. You don't have to. If you meet someone and you don't like them and or get along with them, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter whether or not they're trans. You're just not into that person.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of being open to everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody's quirks and everyone's life experiences. But don't feel obliged to have to take on those things about a person that you feel like may threaten yourself.
Mm-hmm. Look, I can't, sometimes you just can't educate people as well. So, you know, you don't try, because they're stuck in the world. But
yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it. It was a great chat. Really.
Geez, enjoyed. I hope so. I can ramble, you know. So
well, I've certainly learned a lot, and it's an area that I will need to continue to learn on. And I do have other people in my life, as I say, who do hold different opinions, and it's about how do you get that balance right. So it's so hard, isn't it? And I think from my own personal perspective, it's, you know, whether it's the far right or the far left, it's where you've got extremes, that's when we hurt people.
Yes,
and I think
I
it's
agree.
About let's grow and try and understand all these things. And, yeah. You know, we need to be kind. It's as simple as that, don't we?
Definitely.
It's as simple as that. And, you know, it's certainly maybe that's an area that we all should look internally and start from and be gentle and kind, including to ourselves. Yeah.
And, you know, one way for people to do that, if you really want to practice, you know, getting to learn from others and learning about other people and their experiences, read some sci-fi, because science fiction will really help you to answer questions and discover beliefs that you have without directly having to interact with the moral question that you don't want to touch. You'll be surprised how much sci-fi will be able to teach you things about your views in that way.
Really, just a plug for that, those two books again.
No, absolutely not. If I was to say any sci-fi in particular, you should watch Star Trek The Next Generation. Okay. That's good sci-fi, and that is sci-fi that will help you learn about other people and other opinions, moral questions that you may not be comfortable in addressing directly. Watch Star Trek. Star Trek
will visit. I will be. My partner is a Trekkie fan. But go on, plug those two books, go on.
my two broadsider books, the
Paul.
I'm so embarrassed about no. my own about plugging my own work. Isn't that weird?
Proud.
Yeah, so my first broadsider book, which is the Siege of the Behemothus, and the second one is The Fall of the Insurmountable, are both available on Amazon. If you ever find yourself in Galway City, they're available in a little nerdy shop called Dungeons and Donuts, if you want to pick one up off a shelf. Or you can check out my Instagram or my Twitter or my Facebook page, which I'll give Caroline all the links for, and you'll be able to find them in the description below if you want to pick up a book or read any more, I guess. So yeah, thank you so much. This is so cool. I never I love being able to talk about my creative processes and how being trans affects those things. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Brilliant. I love Lily's story. And she's like, she's been through so much, and she's got so much wisdom.
For such a young person. She looks even younger than you do, Caroline, with no lines on your forehead either. But no, absolutely. It's really interesting, isn't it? And as I said before, some of the statements she made, you know, and some made me feel quite sad still, that she still didn't feel that she fitted in.
Yeah.
And I think we've all got a responsibility to try and make, well, as I said before, to be kind. But yes, a fascinating story. So where did you meet? You did touch on that before. Well, but
she was in the film that they made for the transgender community of where I live. And it was just a lot of kids, all different ages, getting together to create artwork. So they had brought Lily in to help them with their artwork. So
right, I'm with you.
She was in the film, and she had come over because they're on the west coast of Ireland.
Yeah.
And she'd come over with her mom to show the film. And I remember seeing her in the audience, and she was talking and everything. And then I got my company to sponsor that film and show it internally within our company. Yeah. But I got Lily and a few of the others to come on afterwards to do Q&A, and that's kind of where I got to know it.
Brilliant. Oh, you're ingenious. You know, you are informing the world with all the things that we need to know. It's important. And it is tricky as well, isn't it? So we mustn't, you know, equally push under the carpet that there are different opinions about things. Mm-hmm. And I think I really liked what she said about how we need to reach out to maybe people that we know, or people we know we, you know, have heard about, or friends of friends or whatever, to try and help us understand more from other people's perspectives.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody in work who was in an allies program, and we were talking about pride, because I don't know anybody who's gay. I don't know. And then you're like, how in this world do you not know anybody who's gay or transgender? She goes, so I don't know, should I, can I be an ally? And I was like, you can always be an ally, you know. But it's interesting, some people just don't know any well, they say they don't know any LGBT people.
It is fascinating, isn't it? And the example that Lily gave about the person she worked with from the Islamic faith. You know, it's like, I'm thinking about that. I live in Middle England in a little tiny village, and my exposure to people of different people, different walks of life is so very narrowed down. And we've got a responsibility, haven't we, to try and widen our circle, because without it, we just become more narrow in our views, don't we?
Yeah. I remember telling one of my Muslim friends I was gay. It was over the phone. She lives in Turkey, and she would be very religious. And she goes, but are you not afraid of going to hell? And I was silent. She goes, oh, I'm only joking, but I know she wasn't. Look, you have to accept their faith and what they believe.
It's different. It's differences. And again, Lily referred to that, you know, it's just accept that it's their belief and it's their right to have their belief. And I think she said, and I think that's the title of our show, actually, Caroline, we're going to have to go back and go back through what it was, but it was something pricey, like, I'm not necessarily right, but I'm not wrong either. And I thought that's brilliant because we need to have acceptance. It's one of the worst things we can be is right, isn't it? Because it's just an opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so many things, it's just an opinion.
Yeah.
And that's why this is difficult, because actually, whether you're born a male or a female, it isn't necessarily an opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really difficult. Difficult topics, difficult things to, and we've got this need to learn more. Yeah. Now I'm waffling. I'm very sorry.
I know. And I think bringing people on these show and talking to them is so important. It's vital. We're educating ourselves. I still have so many questions, and I think that's the important. We'll go back to Lily and bring more transgender women on and talk to them. I know you have content. So you go first.
Oh, well, I believe the long-awaited second series starring our friend Colette in Gentleman Jack. So the Ann Lister story is continuing, and I believe the BBC have it featuring on Sunday, this Sunday, the 10th of April at 9 p.m. on BBC One over in the UK. So, yes, that's back on. And as you mentioned, it's quite rightly, it's Ann Lister's birthday week, which is probably why it's, you know, coming on at the end of this week.
There's big plans happening in Halifax at the moment. I have friends over there sending me pictures. One of them just met Sally Wainwright.
Oh, wow.
Picture with her. So it's big. It's really kicking off there at the moment. I hope they have the nice weather to do the tours and the walks and the...
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. So that's my bit of content. So what's yours?
So the First Lady, I put it up on our Facebook page a few weeks ago. It's the cast. First of all, it's an amazing, amazing cast. So there is Viola Davis, right? Michelle Pfeiffer, Gillian Anderson, Kiefer Sutherland. There's a bit of lesbian stuff going on. It's on in the USA. So we're going to have to find it. There's 10 episodes. And it just looks really amazing. I'll put the link in or the trial, the trailer link in our bio. But it just, you look at the cast and then you look at the acting and then you look at the storyline and you're like, oh, I have to get on my hands with this.
Yeah. Something to watch.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to take it up in Europe, or will it be Netflix or Amazon, but whoever it is, I'm going to be signing for it anyway.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. Yeah. Yes. So I look forward to doing a bit of telly watching now. It's got a bit colder again. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have a little bit of a catch up, I suppose. And what about you?
Busy for that.
Sorry?
I think you're too busy for that, Becky.
Oh, not long now. Not long till I stop this contract and I can have the freedom of my van. And yeah, this summer, I look forward to a summer of exploring again. So fingers crossed. And yeah, I still had planned to come back to Ireland, but not sure if I'm going to get here, because I think that's the only time my van can go in for a bit of work. So if that's the case, it's like, no, but I do want to come back. I definitely want to come back. But what about you? Have you got plans?
We do. We have a bit of, we're a bit, we've had a busy few weeks, so, and we've done a lot of traveling and stuff. So I'm looking forward to, we've Easter weekend away, and then, yeah, looking forward to something. Yeah. Just to stop for a little while, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You're non-stop. You are, you know, and yes. And I hope you recover swiftly too. So, yeah.
But listeners, thank you so much for listening in. Becky, it's lovely to see you again. And have a great week, have a great month, and we'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
Bye-bye. Keep well, Caroline.